because that's a really good place to be. And the truth is, in 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. And so I want to just say, God's not pleased with that. He has so much more for you. And I think sometimes we settle for a counterfeit of what we think is okay. And so it's really three different questions, because the question about heaven is a question of your heart. And it's really a separate issue, right? Because we don't know the condition of your heart. But I love that you are asking this question. I just wanted to share because this was so personal to me. I was living with my boyfriend when I started coming to Calvary about 19 years ago. And we were living together and we were sleeping together. And every now and then, Pastor Robert has a word and you think he's talking to you. Have you ever experienced that? And I remember I was sitting in the cry room with my little infant son, and he just looked, I'm telling you, he looked at me, and he said, you know, he was teaching about this very topic. He said, there's someone here that's living outside of God's plan for marriage, and I know you're afraid to leave, but do it, and God will bless you. And so I want to tell you, if that's you today, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's hard to get up and get out of a situation that you're comfortable in. You might even have some fears about, how am I going to do this? How am I going to support myself? What will my boyfriend think? But I'll tell you what, when you are obedient to God, he blesses you. So be brave.
On a lighter note... but not for everybody. What does God say about our family pets going to heaven? And can I just say that if you're not a pet person, you're not going to get it, okay? Because growing up, I wasn't a pet person, and then I got dogs when I got older, and I was like my life. They're so cute. So first of all, I want to say, oh, there they are right there. That's Sophie Daisy, who's blocking my picture. Move out of the way. Joni, who has no pets. This is Sophie and Daisy. Sorry. Okay, aren't they precious? Okay, so here's what we do know. So the Bible doesn't give us a definite yes or no, okay? But let's focus on what we know, which is always good to do when you're not sure. So we know that God made man and woman in his own image and gave us the responsibility to oversee and protect his creatures, right? We know that animals were not created with the same ability that we were, that is to reject right or wrong, or to accept or reject salvation, right? Our dogs can't get saved, okay? You might pray over them and stuff, okay? But we do know that there will be animals in heaven. Yes, that's a definite yes. We know that because it tells us the wolf shall dwell with the lamb in Isaiah 11. And I'm just going to end this with a quote that I love from Billy Graham that kind of thinks outside of the box. And this is a Billy Graham quote, and it says, God will prepare everything for our perfect happiness in heaven. And if it takes my dog being there, I believe he will be there. And I love that quote, okay? And the other thing we know is that there's no cats in heaven. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Kathy. I'm just kidding, Kathy. Just kidding.
Okay. On that note, you guys, just for a serious minute. So if you guys don't know, I'm married to Mark Hammond, who's the animal expert. And I got to tell you, I love animals. I do. But people are more concerned sometimes with animals than people. And I just want to make sure we measure that, okay? I mean, I had put a picture of Mark holding my 15-year-old dog that died on Facebook, and it got more likes than any Christian thing I've ever posted in my life, even more than my grandkids, too. So I just feel like, you know, if you're one of those crazy animal people, because I know they're out there because they call my house all the time, but why don't we worry as much about our neighbor or the person we are working with, you know, knowing about Jesus than, you know, that lost dog? And we just got, I mean, I love animals, but seriously, let's get our neighbor saved.
I have a cat named Stella, and she's going to hell. All right, now to the question. Does Satan know our prayers or thoughts? Is there anywhere in Scripture that touches on this subject? And we touched on it actually last night when God talked about knowing our hearts are wicked and deceitful above all else. Who could know it? And he's the only one who can answer that question. I, the Lord, know your heart. So I'm going to just stand on that scripture. Now, is Satan observant of our attitudes and our behaviors and our emotions? Does he see when we're looking where our eyes should not be? Yes. So our prayer life puts our eyes back on Jesus, and that's where we're protected. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe.
I got a very practical question here. Do you have any tips on journaling to make it less overwhelming? Well, the first thing to keep in mind is that if you don't enjoy journaling, you don't need to journal. It's okay. It's not a requirement. It is very helpful, though. And a second thing, it took me a while to get used to, is remembering that when you're journaling, this isn't going to be a published work, so it doesn't have to be perfect. Just write what you feel. You can just journal, maybe limit it to a thought that you're having. You can limit it to a scripture that spoke to you that day. And then every day you have kind of that track of where you are at spiritually, but it doesn't have to be the novel. A couple other ideas is, and my journal's full of drawings and doodlings of my mood that day. Sometimes it's not even words, and it will mean something to me. My children, when I die, will probably try to figure out what was going on with Mom. And another thing is, we can take journaling and turn it heavenward and kill kind of two birds with one stone if you actually take the time to write your prayers. You're going to be praying anyway, and it slows you down, and you can just focus on writing love letters to the Lord. Those are some ideas.
Oh, I love that. Good ideas.
Can I have my next four contestants, please? I'm just kidding. Best time of my life. Okay, so this question says, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So right off the bat, I see that this person truly wants to please God. So that's what I see. Will he answer my prayers if I am not walking purely with the Lord? And then she says, I'm struggling with unforgiveness in my heart and actions. Well, again, I go back to, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think this has layers, because some of us carry really deep hurts. And we decide to forgive, and we purpose to forgive, but it doesn't mean our emotions always follow suit. So that's not a sign of unforgiveness. It's a sign of a wounded heart. And sometimes it takes time for God to walk us through that. So when she says, I'm struggling with unforgiveness, the word struggling means you're wanting to do the right thing. And so if you're choosing to not forgive somebody, if you're choosing to hold on to your anger, you will become defiled. You won't be right with God. Your prayers are going to be hindered. Everything in your life, every relationship is going to be affected by that. But just know that when we carry deep hurts and people have hurt us, sometimes it's a daily choice to remember, I've forgiven him, and I'm going to walk in that forgiveness, even though my heart or my feelings are not where I feel I should be. I've chosen to forgive, so that's where I'm at. So sometimes it's a daily commitment.